Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
New Scientist, 29th of June, some of the feature articles, something called Hidden Consciousness. Now, I was just reading just a little while ago and just really ran out of energy, so I hope I can continue. 1 in 10 people believed to be permanently unconscious may actually be aware. How do we be rescuing them from their limbo? Helen Thompson investigates. I have pictures of 5 patients on my wall, says Nicholas Schiff. They all seem to be vegetative state. We know their consciousness to remind me that they're out there and we are not helping them. Schiff, based at Weill Cornell Medical College in New York, is one of the world's leading experts on disorders of consciousness. Many of his patients are in vegetative states. The injuries have left them with no awareness. Okay, so with no awareness of the world around them, or so we thought. In 2006, it was discovered for the first time that a woman believed in a vegetative state was actually conscious after a brain scan revealed that she could imagine different things on request. Followed by a devastating revelation. That someone people have what actually called perfect consciousness, in which they have awareness that comes and goes but can't move any of their body. At first, it was believed to be tragic. Now, the result from a 10-year investigation suggests many people could be trapped in this way. Their bodies are still, but their minds are active. This creates an urgent need to find a way to awaken. It also needs to ask these people and ourselves when they do that. As recently as the 1990s, the position and occasionally every year did high on that capacity. They weren't aware of themselves or the people around. Other agent element than the MRC Division of Brain Sciences in Cambridge, UK, had a worrying thought. What do we want? Neurologists have long been aware of locked-in syndrome, in which people are awake and aware, but unable to move from a small to a body. It was first published in medical experts in 1966, but it must have been known much about it much earlier. It was described by Alexander Dumas in 1844. The Count of Monte Cristo. People who are locked in need to help breathing and may communicate only using eye movements, but they aren't classed as having a disorder of consciousness because, unlike people who fail to reach the minimum effect of state, they are fully conscious. See consciousness is usually. Still, a diagnosis can take months or even years with eye movements is limited. I wondered whether people in this state could have hidden awareness. At the time, this was dismissed as a box idea, he says, not least because it made people feel uncomfortable that someone might be trapped inside their body without even knowing. Nevertheless, Owen's team began to test the theory. The first patient was Kate, a woman who lived in a vegetative state by virus. In 1997, they scanned Kate's brain using a positron emission clock effect, which can measure the brain activity while showing her pictures of her family or playing familiar speech. To their surprise, her brain responded just a few months to the positron brain response. But Owen's team has told a lot of neuroactivity happens over there. So the result is necessarily crucial as well. Took another decade of work to work out a solution. Then, in 2006, Aaron and his colleagues showed a 3-year-old woman in a vegetative state that could respond to instructions by asking her to imagine walking around the house or clay tanks. These two metal parts are provided with compound batteries, which can be lit by flames, confirmed beyond any doubt to the structure that we are aware of. Herself and the researchers, and she had consciousness notoriously difficult to diagnose. Most doctors use variation of the Basco Coma scale, and their verbal responses and motor movements, and they can use brain scans to identify physical damage. However, to identify covert consciousness, you need MRI, MRI, death, or several EEG electroencephalogram tests over time to verify the brain activity that reflects comprehension and capacity to follow commands. But we're just not screening patients for this level of firefighting. The real canary in the mine is a study carried out. Edlove knew that covert consciousness had been discovered in people who had hunted for years to recover from that. But he wondered whether it might not assist people with more recent brain injury. He and his colleagues scanned the brain and seen the conscious people with severe head injuries. During the scan, he asked them to do mental tasks such as imagine squeezing your right hand, or that people who had no capability. These people were in intensive care situation. What if you withdraw the care, even for those who are providing life-sustaining care? And this is a crisis that really important issues. And stuff that we identified since 2015 perfect. For some, the darkness is life-changing. For instance, one man felt the vision state made sporadic head movements that had been dismissed as random. Once the team became aware he was covert, consciously covert, these movements were given more attention. A researcher at the hospital developed a head-mounted computer mouse, which is used to control a keyboard. Eventually, he was able to write to shift an email to join the study. How many more people might this be situation? There was no data on the exact number of people's disorders of consciousness across the world. But in the past 10 years, she had been involved in international investigation with dual rates of misdiagnosis. Those conservatives, one of them, who appear to be in paranoid victims or limited consciousness, actually have covert consciousness. It's a big problem, this issue, and now we know it's not a rare problem. Coming around, 20 years ago, there was a lot you could do to people who did mistakes other than or have a rare spontaneous awakening. That changed with Louis Pigeon in 1996, when he was 24, a truck crashed into him on his bike. Trauma left him in a vision disturbance for a year. One day, when visiting him at his care home, his mother noticed that he seemed restless. She called the doctor, who prescribed him a sleeping pill called Ziclin to calm him. His carers crushed it up into some water and got him to follow. 15 minutes later, after taking the drug, Lewis opened his eyes, turned to his head and said, "Hello, mate." And from that day on, Lewis could be working out once a day in 3 hours. He indirectly found the board in back of the consciousness, and this is the way that was. The story proved something important. Some people in the victim state can capacity be working with the right intervention. Simply, it appears to be the switch on areas towards the front of the brain of Harlem. This outweighs the specific effects of drug in other brain regions. Unfortunately, it's up to the simple potential to trip a small procedure for the benefit of just 4 out of 84 these disorders of consciousness. That quite a few families who use it every day to wake their loved ones most fun effects of the newish COVID days. Amazing. Not to return, Leroy signs a doctor at the University of Liège-Belgium, and his colleagues have begun testing another. You can imagine how brain did you be. I can do so much brain exercise. Called apomorphine. The drug remembers dopamorphine, and it's regularly prescribed to help people with Parkinson's initiate movements. Results from two people treated so far in a pilot trial was a promising one. One participant was unable to communicate at the start. By the end, she could move her hands in response to commands. There isn't there's this moment when they squeeze your hand for the first time and you know that they're really there with you, she says. It's like the presence has stepped into the room. A second participant has started to turn his head when you call his name. A third, who is attempting unsuccessfully to use his thumbs at the beginning of a trial, can now say yes or no and dress and shave him and shave with help. Sands is now recruiting for a larger study. Drugs aren't only the option. In 2007, Schiff and his colleague wondered whether they could kickstart a damaged brain using electricity. There was growing support for the mesiocircuit hypothesis, which attempted to explain how consciousness could be recovered after brain injury, and how cognition can outpace recovery of motor abilities. The hypothesis involves several networks associated with the thalamus. See the diagram below. The thalamus sits above the brain stem and connects to the brain into the spinal cord and acts like a central station. Relays information towards the basal ganglia, which is involved in movement and reward, and the forebrain, made up of two hemispheres of the brain, thalamus and hypothalamus. Together, these areas are responsible for learning, memory, personality, our senses, and regulating breathing and other automatic functions. It's thought that brain trauma disrupts the network, decreasing activity in the forebrain. A drop in activity also happens to the forebrain if we drift off to sleep or go under anesthetic. It is also the last part of the brain to come back online when a person emerges from a disorder of consciousness. To see if they could kickstart the network after injury, Shift team implanted electrodes in the thalamus of a man who had been minimally conscious for the state for 6 years following the assault. Improvements were seen straight away. By the end of the six-month trial, the man could eat, speak, and watch a movie. Despite the major news outlets of the world reporting the results, Schiff's research in this area halted. No funding agency was prepared to pay the huge amount of money required for the participants' rehabilitation and care during the long study. Talk about an uphill battle, Schiff. No one wants to pay for it, and all the researchers can't do it alone. It wasn't until 2016 Martin Monti at the University of California, Los Angeles and his colleagues attempted something similar, this time using a low-intensity ultrasound and non-invasive technology that modulates the thalamus without need for surgery. Hello. Hello, nearly finished?
Yeah, we're just
muffling
up the
hallway and we'll be... Brilliant. Just podcasting away at the moment.
Fantastic.
Well, thanks a lot for coming. Thanks a lot for... Once again, the results were impressive. This patient was a 25-year-old man who had received a severe brain injury after being hit by a car and was minimally conscious of the state for 3 weeks. The morning after treatment, the man tried to communicate with vocalization and gestures. 3 days later, he started answering questions by nodding and shaking his head. A week later, he got out of bed and attempted to walk. Monty's team has since used the technique with other patients and is now moving ahead with the clinical trials. Meanwhile, Angela Ziegler of the French National Center for Scientific Research in Bonn and her colleagues were trialing another technique. It focuses on stimulating the vagus nerve, which runs between the brain and the thalamus, and several areas of the body. They implanted electrodes to stimulate the vagus nerves along the neck of a man who... So just turn the page here. who's able to smile, ask questions using his eyes. There's a reactivation of networks important for consciousness, says Sigrid, adding that it might be possible to combine the treatment with drugs like amphetamine. In other work, André Thibault at the University of Liège has been using non-invasive transcranial direct current stimulation, TDCS, delivered low-level electrical stimulation to switch brain cells on and off. The initial experiment involving 55 people, just one day, a brain stimulation over the area of the forebrain allowed some minimally conscious patients to ask questions by moving their eyes or head. Two patients emerged from minimally conscious states altogether. When they extended the trials, patients were able to communicate for at least a week at a time before losing consciousness again. They gave some families TDS machines to use at home. Going home. Now Thibault intends to use EEG to scan the brain alongside software that is trained to spot when the patient is most vigilant. At this point, the stimulation will kick in, and the hope is that it is more effective. It's a challenge from an engineering point of view, but in a few years, the idea that this is something that would be relatively inexpensive and that these patients could wear permanently at home. These advances raise new ethical questions. Some people may see surviving a brain injury with some degree of consciousness as worse as being in a vegetative state, because you can experience pain and have some awareness of the predicament. Do we need to question whether to awaken people in the knowledge that it is only temporary? What about the families who discover that their loved one is covertly conscious but can't offer any means of continuing the conversation? White says that one of his patients had been in a vegetative state for 2 years, but he started interacting with his parents after a single dose of zipramine. After several hours, he was lapsed back into unconsciousness. Unlike with Vilogen, the effect can't be repaired. It was enormously emotional, you can imagine. Be repeated, says. Okay. The family went from having given up hope to learning that the loved one had the ability to be conscious, to discovering that they just couldn't realize that ability. He believes we should be trying. We won't cause the patient any harm. Unfortunately, it's going to be a lack of people studying that aren't going to be able to study results. For those who can't do well, families ask are quite simple. Do you want the TV on? Are you cold? It's possible for people with disorders of consciousness to have more meaningful conversations about their welfare. Once a person shows signs of awareness, they can decide whether to live or die, says Joseph Williams, a medical ethicist, a Will Coleman medical physician. Historically, the thought about patients making decisions is all or nothing, as they are either capable of consenting treatment or not, he says. But now, he says, we have a third scenario, a person who may be aware enough to ask difficult questions some of the time. Now that people with brain injuries are emerging from and communicating, we have to listen to what they say. Most people, careful consciousness, still wouldn't satisfy the requirement to provide legal assistance. So we should be trying to engage them in decision-making process, but not ask them particular to participate in a way beyond their capabilities. The answer, perhaps, is the plan for the worst, says Steve Laurie, head of the Coma Science Group in the University of Liège, says that until we have brain-computer interface that can help people with disorders of consciousness communicate better, the best thing anyone can do is to express their wishes ahead of time. Tell your family and friends exactly what you want in a will, or at least talk to them about the subject. It could help if something like this happens to you. And when you are considering your options, it may be a surprise to hear that your locked-in isn't necessarily invisible light. A small survey of people who communicate using eye moves found the majority were happy. And the longer they had been locked in, the happier they were. But That stems from their abilities to engage those around them regularly. Without that, she fears people with disorders of consciousness face extreme isolation. What is life like for people in his picture? I don't consider that. Quote, there hasn't been a formal study of well-being in people with disorders and consciousness, says Ralph Cluster of the Royal Surrey County Hospital, UK, who is one of the of Viljoen's doctors. But anecdotally, from what people have told me, during periods of awareness, they're happy. Thanks a lot. That's a really interesting article.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.